Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Welcome in to episode 15 of Coffee and Show. I'm Cameron Halbert, joined by my co-host, Queso Pagouni. And as always, we will start with the rundown of Queso's life over the last week. What have you been up to, my man?
Dude, as you know, man, we got the puppy back. Yep. It's been fun. The house is full again. We gave her away twice. You know, it wasn't ours originally. The puppy wasn't ours originally, but she's come back to our home twice now. So she's here to stay. And then Sleeves, if you've been watching football today, my Steelers knock on wood are in the playoffs.
That's wild. I can't believe that they actually snuck in.
I can't believe it, man. I had a good feeling about the Jags like winning, just because you never know, divisional football stuff can happen. But I was so worried watching the Steelers game. Like, I can't believe they're in the playoffs. I thought they were for sure out, like, after that tie to the Lions earlier in the year.
Yeah.
But get to watch some playoff football. You know, Big Ben's last year. It's exciting.
That is pretty sweet. I'm excited to see the Patriots back in the playoffs. You know, it's been awfully tough watching them go through their rebuild.
Yeah. Their one-year rebuild where they just didn't make the playoffs for 1 year. Yeah.
It's been nice. Tough on us Patriot fans.
Yeah, dude, you have to be a little worried, though. Like, team hasn't been looking too good like the last 5 weeks.
It's not, dude. I'm not gonna lie. Like, they went on a magical run, I believe, of like 7 straight games where they were dominating, and I still did not feel that it was like they were like back to their normal selves. And yeah, I don't know. Their first round matchup will be interesting. We'll see how they do. It's definitely not, dude. Brady broke his passing yard record at 44 years old. Like, that's just simply incredible.
Yeah, 5,300 yards this year or something passing. Like, it makes no sense.
I get
sense.
It's 18 games, but like, or yeah, I guess 17, it's 18, 17, 17 games, 18, 18 weeks. Yeah. But still, like, he's 44. Like,
could you imagine if like Crosby was out there putting up like 150 points in 8 years? Like, it wouldn't make sense, right? Like at 44.
No, it's just absurd. But yeah. All right, so let's get into Hockey Ultimate Team, our forte on this show. And we got a new event. So Team of the Year has come and gone. Did you end up making a new Team of the Year, guys, by the way?
I made 3 of them. I made Hedman, Fox, and Rantanen. And then I bought McDavid because we were talking last week. You said that McDavid's the best card in the game. Bought McDavid with coins. Sold a lot of my players.
How much was that, brother?
$1.6 million.
That's really? I thought, well, okay. Yeah, that's about right. I thought it'd be 2, but yeah.
Yeah, so my thinking is if I decide to sell him in a month, I think his price will go up. So it's maybe it's a rental.
As well.
Yeah.
No, I do as well. I got the exact same actually. Fox, Hedman, Rantanen, and McDavid. Kind of regretting Fox. Not
Me
gonna
too.
Lie,
100%.
He does not feel like Makar last year. It just does not. I don't know if he needed like truculence or smaller defensemen need something to. Or bouncer, I think there's one where it's like where they bump off the puck really well. I think it's it might be truculence. It might be truculence.
Truculence is like the hitting one. Bouncer is the one with like the stick tie ups and stuff in front.
Yeah. Okay. So it was something else then. Yeah. Like I just think he needs something. His speed is unbelievable. But yeah. I just don't think the game, like, there's very many instances where you go end-to-end with a defenseman. Like, if you're able to do that, you're probably not playing someone, like, among, like, the top tier. And not to mention, we got to talk about this event, because we got a brand new event, Style Icons 2.0. Card art is phenomenal. And we got our four master sets for week one. We got Chikrin from the Coyotes. We got Price. We got Tyler Seguin. And then for the third straight year, my Sharks got Erik Karlsson, which I was streaming the release of the event, and I voiced my immense displeasure. I cannot believe, like, I feel like every event, there's been some heavy criticism on the card choices, the Masters, you know, and there's really no debating, like, Karlsson has some pretty cool style, like, so I understand this one, like, yeah, it makes sense. But last year, like, as a Shark fan, the last three Hockey Ultimate Team games, we've really only gotten Burns or Karlsson. And I know a lot of people will be like, yo, we got Goudreau last year. He wasn't a Shark. So, like, while they gave him a Shark NHL moment, and I love, like, you know, but A, it wasn't like he was a household name. And while I do like Barkley Goudreau, he really had one big moment for the Sharks. And we've only got Karlsson. And if you're a Sharks fan, you're not a huge fan of Erik Karlsson. It's not like we got the Ottawa Senator version. Like, he is,
just because since he's joined the team, it's not like the team's had success, right?
Exactly. So, like, he has not been very good at all, and he is going to hamstring that franchise for a long time. I will say this, he's much better this year than he has been probably ever as a Shark. But it's just, man, I think it's kind of inexcusable at this point. Like, there's been no Couture, no Hurdle, no Meyer. I really don't understand that. And it just sucks because I know I'm not going to get a Shark Master Set player for the rest of the year. Maybe one other one that's like a headshot, you know, in the summer or whatever. But the Sharks just don't get a lot because they're not a frontline team. Yeah. So they're probably not going to get double Master Set players. So really disappointed in that one. But let's talk about the four that were released, and then we'll get into some other stuff in a little bit. But among the four, did you check them all out? What ones were your favorite? What ones are you avoiding?
I am avoiding all of them with the exception. So I'm still waiting to see the ones that come out right. But I think that Carey Price, because you're able to get a free one once you play for a week, meet the certain objectives.
Really?
I'm thinking that Carey Price might be the best one. And that's just because what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, gold post to post. And then he has silver light work, which is kind of crazy that, in my opinion, that's the second best goalie X factor, that they would give him that as well. It almost doesn't seem fair.
It is pretty nuts combo. I will say this, good on them for coming back after Team of the Year. It's always tough to follow up one of the best events with a banger event where they redid the everyone gets a free master icon. I think that's a great job. And they did finally nail the format of you get an 86 out of the set, but then you pack the big ones. And it's not like they're separate cards like they were at the Hut Roots event or Hockey Roots event. So they finally flushed out that system. What we were saying is that you should be able to pull the highest one. And then if you want to make the, you know, if you're free to play, something like that. I really do enjoy that. I think that that's the perfect format for events. I still think that with X factors, they should just always be able to be upgraded. If the tier system is going to be in place, I think they should match up with whatever the highest card is out there. It just makes more sense, especially because they are expensive. But nonetheless, I will disagree that I think the only one that's viable is Carey Price. While he does look amazing, I'm always very tentative to spend $300K or $400K on a goaltender or recommend it because I've just been burned by so many times when I go. I mean, Koskinen looks amazing, and not that Koskinen's bad, but he is nowhere near what he should be. Yeah. So it's just it's always hit or miss. I will say this, that the X Factor Carey Price has been incredible still. My favorite goaltender I've used this year. And just looking on paper, that 94 Carey Price does look to be the best one. It kind of makes me think that I haven't checked. I don't know if you have a console on. I'd love to see if Carey Price's X Factor eventually gets light work.
I don't know if it does. I have it pulled up. I'll be the color commentator or whatever.
Perfect.
So if anyone, while you talk for a second.
For anyone that doesn't know, guys, you can go and look at the offline rosters, the default ones, and go and take a look at each player's individual X factors, and they match up to what ends up being unlocked in Hut. So players like Jake Guentzel, for example, the reason why his X factor is so just kind of forgotten about. Isn't big, well, A, he's not all that spectacular, but his he doesn't get any good X factor zone abilities or superstar abilities, for example. So some do down the line.
Carey Price does not get light work, by the way.
Okay, that's interesting. That's good to know because I've thought about upgrading him to 94. It's interesting. So I'll say this. I think that center has been the weakest position it's ever been in Hockey Ultimate Team in the sense that there's no, like, god-tier centerman.
And there haven't been any release with, like, cool quick draw either, which I've been surprised. I thought that would be one where they try to, like, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a bigger center release, maybe not the fastest, but like a Jason Arnott or something, right, with gold quick draw, like an event card or something like that. Just the reason to use that ability. Right now we only have like Ryan O'Reilly and I think Neuendijk that has it as an icon. There aren't too many.
I didn't even think of the quick draw.
So unless you have like your point, like centers being kind of weak, unless you did like the team builder set and you have like the Zetterberg, there aren't a lot of good centers right now in
even
hockey
Zetterberg team. Like shouldn't be as good as he is. I think there's something just different about that card. I don't know what it is, but it's not like he's the best build for center. His stats and attributes are, and the way that he plays is very good, and his shot seems to be automatic, but he's only 6 foot. Like, you want big centermen. And there just hasn't been, like, that one where it's like, wow, okay. And Tyler Seguin's card looks to be, right now, in my opinion, on paper, the best center in the game right now. He's 6'1", I believe, so just an inch bigger. But he's got great speed. He's faster than Zetterberg. He's shot everything defensively. He's all good. The only thing, I think he has 91 faceoffs with Thief as opposed to 99, but that's kind of negligible. Just so he looks to be the best center. So I think that he will always have a place. The thing I will say is that no matter what, I'm big on getting centermen that at some point are fast enough to play the wing. Okay. Because then at least it gives you some lineup flexibility as you go down.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, guys that are pure wingers, they're really stuck there. On the other side, we can talk about Chychrun. I think Chychrun is the second best one. But the problem is that, again, we're talking like the Hut Rich guys or the guys with God squads. He's not going to replace he's not going to start above Klefbom. He's not going to start above Hedman. He's not going to start above Gonchar. So if you have two of those, that's your third pairing. Like, I think he is the replacement for Byram. If a lot of people are still, I'm still using Byram.
Yeah, I am too. And I actually have been considering getting rid of him for some other reasons. But like, he could be a replacement there.
I think that would be Chychrun would be the replacement there. And then the problem with Carlson, I think his build is fine. The issue is that if you've got Fox Team of the Year, you don't want to have two. I would not want to. Again, I'm talking about like playing competitively. You know, we're min maxing here, and my whole channel is built on like just like trying to help players do better. So you wouldn't want to have multiple smaller options on one side. So like if you have Team of the Year Fox, I wouldn't really want to go out and get Carlson too, because here's the example that I'm in. So if you have Shea Weber, for example, he's not going to start above Shea Weber. Shea Weber's just a very, very good defensive card in this game. He's not going to start above Team of the Year Fox because Fox's just stats just seem to be a bit better. I guess he could technically.
Yeah, I mean, he's an inch taller, so I mean,
it's
he
the problem
has
with
that.
The cost, though. It's like it's like draft capital, like in real sports. Like you can't, you know what I mean? Like
do you really want to put those kind of coins or collectibles or whatever you're using to build the Carlson or even buy the Carlson if he's going to be on the second or third pair and it's just
that's
negligible
what I'm saying.
On
exactly
that
right. And then my issue is that I'm not going to get another Shark Master item, so the player I'm going to have to replace is the X Factor Dougie Hamilton.
And there's no replacing that one.
Like, I'm going to do it, but I really don't want to do it. Like I preach that you should always use the players that like are among your favorite. And I guess technically Eric Carlson is not among my favorite, but he's like the only shark I'm going to get. So, now let's discuss the other master set items in this event, because for the 15th time in this game, they leaked their own event stuff. And what else is new, right? Like, if for anyone that was not paying attention, they everything looks okay. They released the event, but then when you go into collections and look at the event collection, for the moment, for the first hour of the event, Matthew Barzal's face was the thumbnail, and he was not among the ones released.
Yeah.
So, whoops. So, Matthew Barzal, 100% confirmed for the next event. And taking a look at his X Factor and his highest rated card, he is probably going to be the one that you'd want to make if you were going to make one. Because he looks like... The thing is that I think his X Factor is probably better than, like, I think if you have his 89 X Factor, making his X Factor go from 89 to 94 is going to be a better, because at some point, I think I've been looking into this. Eventually they unlock, like, I think it's 15 synergies.
Yeah.
Every player. So at some point he's going to get a skating synergy. And that's then he's maxed.
Yeah, that's what people were saying, because they were able to figure out like what gets unlocked based on the current synergies that they have, right?
Yeah.
So, and I also think another reason for his X Factor is I played against a lot of people that had him earlier on, and like the gold elite edges on that Barzal card was kind of ridiculous.
I'm big on elite edges now, and I got rid of Barzal because he didn't do well at the beginning of the season, and my team just got so much better. Like I couldn't keep, I got rid of him because I packed him tradable. So, I'm probably going to buy his X Factor card or maybe just get the 94. I don't know. We'll to see what it comes with, but he's going to have like 97 speed, which is wild. And if he comes with Thief, which I think he would have to, because he's going to have multiple synergies. You could play him at center too. Like I think his face off rating will get up high enough, like 85, 86 range, which I think is still okay. So that'll be interesting. I think he's probably going to be the one that would be the best. There is some other, like, so they released objectives that you've got to complete.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah, and Reddit, again, appreciate the boys on Reddit for letting us post here and not flaming us for posting the podcast on Reddit. There was a thread that kind of someone went in to deep dive on what the objectives were worth, and it looks like Zdeno Chara is one of the guesses.
I saw that one, yeah.
Again, so I've talked about this a couple times in the podcast with Nick or Shadow moving on from the content side, and the new guys coming onto the team, they're very, very in tune with the game and meta, which is why we have such even cards throughout. Like, every event has been very, very even. Like, they almost seem like scared to make a card too good.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very rare. And if Zdeno Chara is, in fact, an option, I'm willing to bet that his speed does not touch 88.
So whenever people would mention that it could be Chara, I think going off what his base attributes are, his speed should be around like 86, right? Like whenever he gets upgraded to a 94 overall,
yeah,
which is fine. Like he's 6'9". You don't need that. So I would wonder if they gave him like a speed or Excel synergy.
Remember the beginning of the year when like Hedman's X Factor came out and that 88 came out?
Yeah.
And there was like this time before his team of the year where it was like he just seemed too slow.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, like, do you think that Zdeno Chara, even though he was like the GOAT among Hockey Ultimate Team for years, do you think that like if he came out and he was 86, let's say he's 88.
Okay, 88 speed, I'm making him immediately. I'm selling my fantasy McCann that I've been holding on to. And I'm replacing whoever I have on my right side with the left-handed
shot.
True,
I guess. Like,
yeah. It would also depend on abilities, too, right? Like, could you imagine?
They'd be giving Thunderclap or something that's, like, less...
They would have to. If he came out and he had, like, shutdown, it would be game over,
no
right?
shot, bro. Like, I think that they made a mistake with Team of the Year Hedman on that. Like, so I don't think they realized what that was.
That Team of the Year Hedman they made, I want to talk about it later in the podcast. After playing with him for a week, it's the most broken card that I think it's been in the game.
It is. It is wild.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if there was like an 88 Excel like Chara, 100% make him.
I think I would have to make him too. That he's so like he's just
it's so ridiculous. Like, or if he had truculence.
If he had truculence, I don't even know if that'd be viable because he'd probably get a penalty every single time.
Probably
he
would, right? Yeah,
it would probably be a penalty like every single hit. There were a couple other guesses. I think Sean Monahan was one.
Fleury was one of them too for the 51 wins. I think it was one of the years with Vegas. Yep. He had like regular season and playoff wins combined. He had 51 wins,
something like that. Yeah. Now the Monahan one would be kind of interesting to me because they don't usually double up team masters, and they've already had Rasmus Anderson.
So I the only counter I have to that, and it's a do you mean in the current So the only counter I have to that, right, is I think the Penguins have had three so far, right? They've had they have Crosby, Malkin, and then they had a Jager, which I think technically counts as a Penguins one.
Yeah, he was
from
a Penguin
that first.
Yeah.
But then again, they're also one of the more popular franchises whenever it comes to like this kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And I have to be honest, like, again, the new content team, it makes it a little bit difficult. I know just like I from like the years of like being a game changer and talking to Nick, I know that he didn't like to I know that they have to make it balance. I know they have like a sheet and they go through it and they're like, hey, this team, which is, you know, so I'm not really sure, but I guess it's possible. Monahan's such a weird one, though. Like,
it really is, because it's like I haven't followed much hockey in the past couple of years. It seems like he's taken kind of a decline from where his potential was. I could be speaking out of turn. Mm-hmm. So it's just not like a good choice. One of the other ones, because the Chara one was tied to the hits. I think it was like 223 hits. The other theory was like Ovechkin, because he had a hit total that matched that, but he's already had an MSP, right? Has Ovechkin had an... I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't think so, man. No, he hasn't
had an MSP. So if he hasn't had one... He had a style icon last year.
If he gets one, it can't be. It can't be him, actually. I mean, okay. I guess there's eight technically, because Barzal... Actually, Barzal's listed as a center. So like, yeah, there hasn't been a right wing, have right-handed winger then. So yeah, I guess like...
Yeah, the hits one was a little... It was weird because like whenever you're tracking...
I thought Chychrun had... Oh, no, the lower total, I think. Chychrun was at like... Yeah, okay.
And then there were, like, combative hits totals for the Chara one. Like, one site had him at, like, a different number than the other one. So it'll be interesting
to see. Yeah, I don't think those ones are confirmed. Like, those ones were just speculation, guys. But Barzal is 100% going to be confirmed. So, you know, we'll find out. And you can't really make your free master until that anyways, because you have to wait the 7 days.
And they timed it out kind of well, right, with that. Yeah. So that was good.
Exactly.
There was one more important thing from the event sleeves that we have to talk about. And we were just talking before the podcast, guys, before we started recording, and Sleeves didn't realize this. This is something that I knew that the Face of Hut didn't know. So I
did not. The Face of Hut was not paying attention.
So some of the event cards that got released, there was a 90 Roenick and there was a 90 Borje Salming.
Yep.
Their power-up icons actually increased to match their highest in form. So Jeremy Roenick, I think, was an 84 overall. His power-up icon, whenever the game came out, he should only be like an 87 or 88. You can now upgrade him to a 90 to match his new event card that came out. So I'm interested to see. And oh, by the way, they didn't really tell anybody this. I thought that was the funny part of it.
Dude, classic EA, man. Like, not even, like, I get maybe not tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I even maybe get not making a banner, but like, dude, they don't even tell the game changers. Like, I had no idea, man. And I live on this game. It is my job, basically. It is my job. So
it is your job.
I was stuck because I have not paid attention, guys, to the icons for a reason. The format this year is very lazy, and there's only like four that were viable or worth it. So a couple things here with, I think this is accurate. I think this is good. I think this is what they should have done at the beginning of the year. Here is the issue. We have zero predictability of when these will be upgraded or released. So there is, it is complete guesswork. Like, if you went out and bought, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, Cornwallet would be a great one. So Cornwallet has like insane speed, and I'm pretty sure he has like no agility. Like, he can't turn, or maybe that's Gartner. I think it's one of them. I can't remember, but like, so if you had one of those and like with the thought like, oh, he's going to get an upgrade at some point, there's no way to tell. Like last year when they did the silver and gold, at least you knew like it was going to be even ish and it was predictive. This way is really unfortunate in the sense that they are just gonna, all right, today we feel like upgrading Howardchuk or St. Louis, and it's like, ugh. So I mean, with that being said, I still don't know what that really changes.
I don't think it changes anything,
because the cost is still, it's still quite a bit. Like, you know, Lemieux and Gretzky, what would change is if they made an icon set.
Yeah, that would
if
change
if they made a set, like, to actually make icons, which I thought was going to come. Like, I thought was being added to the game, and
so
it just hasn't.
One thing we all know, too, is, like, now that Roenick's a 90, whenever the overall increases next month, will he go to a 91, or will he still be at what he was supposed to be? Like,
brother, I'd love to tell you, but it's not like they told us anything, so.
Yeah, and I also, like you said, I don't think it changes anything, right? Because I think to get Roenick up to that, you probably have to spend a lot of coins or a lot of power-up collectibles, or you could just go get his 90 that's probably cheap.
Yeah, it's not going to be all that expensive, especially with sets and whatnot. 90s are now going are the cheapest value in the game because 88, well, 89s probably, but whatever is right above the highest minimum set thing. So like 80, they finally put 88s in the game, an 88 plus set. So like 89s are going
to
be cheap.
They did that this past set.
Yeah, they put 88 in for six collectibles as opposed to five for the 87.
That's good.
Yeah, like that was nice that we finally did that. So it increased the cost. I'm probably just going to make but just to kind of end this event. We did get a Matthews. Dude, Matthews is just, he's having such a great year. It's reminding me of like Draisaitl. Like he's just not.
Yeah, he's not getting anything and it's so weird.
And his card, right? So what I was talking about at the beginning of this episode, that there isn't like elite centers that are like, wow, gotta have. And it's because they're, again, the people in power understand that like you can't have a big centerman that's fast. So they're like Draisaitl and Matthews are really slow in the sense of, again, I'm comparing this to the other cards that are available. So like wingers like are very quick now. Yeah, we're getting up there. Yeah. You know, we're getting up there, but like Matthews and Draisaitl are very slow in comparison. Like 91 is the fastest you can get them up to. Well, it's still fine. And center is not a position where you need speed. I think it's the one where you can get away with it. It's just like, again, there isn't any center that it's like, wow, this is incredible. Like Zetterberg is, in my opinion, and now Sagan. But a lot of people will probably play Sagan on the wing. I still think they probably will.
And the cool thing about now that Matthews got like another upgrade. His X factor, most people have that X factor, right? We were talking about not a lot of good centers. He has Thief and he can get Heart and Soul on two separate synergy slots, I believe. So I don't know what his face-offs go up to. I think it's at least like 90, 91, 92 maybe. So he's one of the best centers if you use those two slots.
No
on, like,
skating
Thief.
Sin on that one, right?
I don't
his
know.
His X factor has distributor. His first one is all speed.
Okay.
It's then, like then all you like
have
skating.
Speed. Then you have speed. Yeah, Thief, and then you can have like Heart and Soul, right? Aren't there three slots?
Not until he gets to tier 12. Here's another issue, is that because they gave him an event card and not a primetime or team of the week, is I think he has to get his next team of the week in primetime before he gets his next upgrade.
Jesus.
It's very annoying. Like
we upgraded him all the way to 91, literally like the second day the game came
first,
out.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. No upgrades since. It's just annoying. Like that one, him and Draisaitl, but Draisaitl made sense and like it was predictive. You could tell that like when they announced the IHF thing, it's like, okay, they're holding off and finding ways to just completely ignore the fact that Draisaitl's putting up 5-point games and whatnot. It's like clearly he's getting an X factor, a master set. Do you think that those odd choices for master set players is because of the X factors? Because X factors are essentially master set players.
They kind of started doing that last year, though. Like, there were some weird choices for MSPs, right? Like, you had the moments one with Goodrow, but there are a lot of weird choices. This year, it's even more off the wall. Like, that Brandstrom one sticks out to me.
That one is the one that's just...
Yeah.
No, even, like, Rasmus Anderson. Like,
yeah, that one's
know,
strange,
like,
right? So maybe that is their way to combat that, right? Because like the people that do have X factors, they are going to get the informs regularly. So I'd imagine that's a good guess. I don't know. I haven't been a big fan of some of these choices.
I really don't like it. A lot of the decisions. And again, as a Sharks fan, I couldn't believe it. I was so certain they would not be Carlson.
Well, would you rather have had that or another Burns? Because I feel like we've had like five Burns.
Burns is
MSPs.
Not a good hot card.
You don't think so? You don't think if he had a 94 overall card right now,
his
wouldn't.
Skating is always brutal, and I've never and his wrist shot is better than his slap shot.
Okay.
By like enough margin. Well, so it's just a very weird build. It's a very weird build.
They've always tinkered with those releases that they've had where Burns is a forward. I forget. I think one of those came out.
They do that every
year.
Yeah, they do.
I know they should have done an MSP at some point for that instead of just having like the lower rated ones.
Yeah.
Or even like an out of position, like Madden has the out of position. I don't know if you can hear Bella. She's like chewing on a hat. I apologize.
No, it's all right.
At least it's keeping her busy. Yeah, Madden has the event, which actually looks completely broken, where they'll release like players playing out of position, right? So you have like a Derrick Henry, a quarterback, which I've seen videos of, and it's like a circus and it makes no sense because he's like a 99 running at quarterback. I think it could work a little bit better in hockey just because there's not that much of a difference, you know, between a defenseman.
I think it would go over
hockey.
Really poorly because hockey's such a traditional sport. Like it's very like set in its ways. Like people don't like messing with tradition.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it does seem a little bit
too. It seems like too arcadey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. But yeah.
But yeah. So again, communication from EA and specifically Hockey Ultimate Team is just absolutely abysmal. Still, like I said, I had no idea about the power up icon thing. I'd be curious to see how many people actually learned about it listening to this. I'm gonna go make a video tomorrow, I guess, about it, because
yeah,
I legit
welcome.
Had no idea. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. By the way.
Yeah. There you go. I solved a day of work for you.
Exactly. I mean, dude, let's go. And then let's go into our next issue, and that's something that is. We've just kind of accepted, and that's like the syncing issues that are still happening.
Yeah. So somebody brought that up to me whenever I was streaming this week. It's like, hey, how come you and Sleeves haven't talked about the looping and the syncing issues? And I think it's almost Stockholm syndrome with us, where it's like we're so used to the issues this year. It's like I completely forgot that that's been going on for the
desyncing where you like kicked out of the game or in a freeze off.
Yeah,
it was like they released like a Band-Aid to like, and this was like the fix for it. It was like, okay, you'll just, none of you will get a loss. I'll just kick you out of the game. But yeah, dude, it's been bad. Have you been getting it a lot?
So I haven't been getting it that much recently. And I think that's because I don't think people know what causes it, right? So I think it's some of the lower divisions you might experience. I think what causes it is adjusting your player synergies in the edit lines menu prior to going into a game, not in the manage team in the main tab of HUT, but if whenever you're loading into a rivals game or a HUT champs game, if you adjust player sins, it'll cause a loop almost every time, I think. So
yeah, like that's what it appears to be. What he means by that is like, if you look, like, let's say you do an upgrade as well, like this would be another instance where it appears to be, we have no concrete evidence of this, but it's just what like community is on Twitch and, you know, kind of the guys that have played this game way too much, where it seems to be happening. So if you upgrade a card, let's say you upgraded Ovechkin or something, where you unlock that like third synergy slot. Mm-hmm. When you unlock that third synergy slot, it doesn't automatically select the synergy. It like the box ungrays, but you haven't clicked it in. Even if you,
I'm gonna mute myself while you talk about this. I'm gonna.
All right, sounds good.
Room.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you haven't actually selected it, then it'll actually grant, you actually have to go in and change the synergy or click, like, let's say a booming shot, it unlocks on Ovechkin. And even if you have booming shot unlocked on your team, it won't automatically activate it on the card. And that's what appears to be doing that. Same with zone, or I think if you like mess around with your abilities too, in that same thing, like pregame, CJ was saying that like that might cause it too. So just be aware of that and see if that's causing it. Cause yeah, I'm getting it every stream, like at least once. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate. I don't think we'll get a fix for it. I don't think, you know, the game was marketed to have the augmented reality stuff, like the graphics and thing. We're not going to get that, I don't think. They don't know how to fix it after that first patch, it appears. And, yeah, so it just sucks.
I'm like at a loss for words with some of this stuff, because it's like, yeah, we had a feature that they put into the game with that augmented reality. Like, and it actually looked cool.
I don't really care about
presentation that much, but it looked cool. It added something to the game. And it's just like, that took time, development time. They worked on that leading into this game's release. They can't even use that. Now they have to spend more time looking for these issues that's causing it. And it's like, you know, what other things did we not get because of this? And then we also have a somewhat broken game now.
It's unfortunate. Now, I know you went on a kind of a tirade about it, so I guess we can spend some time just discussing it about, you know, take away the issues that are in Hockey Ultimate Team that we just seem to just accept now. Like, the lack of stuff is just, let me ask you this, man. Say you didn't make content, like, say, because I know you now, I've talked to you enough, we're close enough friends, that I know that you making content is because you actually enjoy the actual content part of it. Like, I know that, like, you like making the YouTube videos, you've done a really good job at it, and streaming, it's like, it like scratches an itch, I guess. Mm-hmm. But if there was no GWC, how much do you think that would impact HUT?
If there was no GWC, how much would it impact HUT? I think you would see a lot of those play, like, whoever makes up the top 100 weekly in HUT Champs, a lot of those guys probably wouldn't play, right? You'd have Gren, Regs, whoever else, me. I wouldn't play the mode. I would stick to online versus. I would play a few times a week. I would maybe play money games. The thing, I don't think it would impact HUT too much because I don't think the devs really care too much about that competitive side. It doesn't, they're not affiliated with the NHL in the sense that they're running the tournament. So I think because of all of that, there's no incentive for EA to support the competitive community in the way I'm going to say we want to be supported, right? So I'm not sure how much that would impact HUT. I know for me, I wouldn't be doing YouTube and Twitch and whatever else.
I think that if so, like, let's not just say the top 128 that qualify. There's like 500 to 1,000 hopefuls.
Yeah. Okay?
You wouldn't have the level of engagement from those 1,000 people.
And that's a lot of money, too. That's $4,000 a year from Nippin Biscuits, at least, right? So
Easily,
and it's right? Like,
you know, it's just even just as a content creator myself, thinking back to like I'm entering my fifth year. So I'm entering my sixth year, I guess. Wow. I started in January 1st of 2017. And I'm trying to think of my first couple of years. HUT was like what I played, but I didn't like cover it as much as I do now. And a lot of it's with the end result of people working towards GWC. And it's like if they didn't have that, and I think EA is lucky in the sense that if they didn't have that, there's a lot of I'm not saying like obviously the majority of the player base, like probably 90% doesn't care about the GWC. But the loudest people and where you get your hype online and whatnot are people that compete in the GWC or care about it.
Yeah.
So just unfortunate. Like next year, I'll say this. So I tweeted out at the start of NHL 22 that I think, honest to God, wasn't a troll tweet, even though people try to make it a copy pasta, which is whatever. It's going to fail. Is that I think NHL 23 will be the best NHL we've ever gotten. And the reason why is that I would be blown away if there is not cross-console. But it isn't cross-console that will fix NHL. Cross-console allows them to implement what needs to be fixed in NHL, and that is a lack of stuff to do. So the reason why they can't have multiple modes is you can't separate an already extremely small player base. If you are cross-console, your player base issues aren't really a thing anymore. Like, even in, like, February or March, there will still be enough players on Xbox and PlayStation where you could have a Draft Champs mode, you could have a comp season mode, you know, or online seasons, or whatever you want to call it, as on top of Rivals, Rush, and Squad Battles is a thing, and Champs. Like, you could have that, whereas right now you simply cannot. Like, you would just won't find it. Like, if you went to One's Eliminator right now, like, can you find, like, I don't know.
I haven't touched that. It's in a long time.
Yeah, like, it's just what it's, you like, know, it's, you know?
So you mentioned that mode, right?
Yeah.
I think back to that mode. I think back to Rush. There's a lot of things we've been asking for. Me specifically, I've been asking for a competitive mode. I can play an Ultimate Team that's on an even playing field. I'm somebody that spends money. I do well. My team's really good, right? But regardless, there's still that like competitive integrity. I don't feel good, Matt, like with my 99 overall team beating somebody with a 90. I want that Draft Champs like Battle Royale or like salary cap competitive mode in Ultimate Team. But instead, nobody asked for HUT Rush. Nobody asked for One's Eliminator. They spent this development time. They've hyped this up. These modes are going to come. They're going to go. They're going to die out. And in all that time, the last few years, they could have been building up like a good structure and a good environment for their competitive community or even just general players to play the game.
Here's my like devil's advocate for.
Sure, give it to me.
Dude, you just described Versus.
So, right. But Versus, GWC isn't run through Versus. And not only that,
it's all GWC based.
It's not even all GWC based. I think with MLB and you look at the Battle Royale mode they have in there. Why would you play that if you could just play there's Versus in MLB, isn't there? It's more about the team building and strategy atmosphere of it too, which I think is cool.
I'm saying that like so you're looking for a competitive thing that is balanced. Wouldn't Draft Champs be balanced? Like Draft Champs is balanced.
Yeah, that would have been great. It was just designed poorly and they put 2% effort into it and then they dropped the mode out of the game. If Draft Champs was a copy of Madden's Draft Champions, it would have been a great mode. It wasn't. Yeah. And then they just, they removed it from the game. And then now they, now they're at the point where they can't bring that mode back like 2 years later, 3 years later, because it just wouldn't look good on their side, right?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I said this before we started, I would be blown away if we do not have another mode in Hockey Ultimate Team. Like, if there is not, if it is the same cycle once again, let's say they add leaderboards and rivals, which is something that we've all been asking for a long time, because at least that gives every game a little bit more meaning. And let's say they add in guaranteed cards. So like every week of rivals or every 2 weeks, you can earn a guaranteed card that's exclusive to it or something like that. Even if they did that, if they do not add in a mode that is different in Hockey Ultimate Team to do every week, like it is very, very sad. I would just be like, man.
I just don't want them to add in something that it's not going to be as good as it can be, like the Draft Champs was, right? If they don't add in anything and they fix Rivals completely, because let's be honest, Rivals in its current state is like a 2 out of 10
mode. Like,
it's not good. And it's not good, and that's the core mode in Ultimate Team, right? So, like, they have things they need to add, but what they have in the game needs fixed anyway. It's kind of in a tough state.
I'm so like sad about it because I have no faith. Yeah,
we are.
Like, that's what, it's funny because like you see all the guys that like used to be game changers. I'll use like Bacon Country as an example, and they're just so cynical about the game ever being fixed. And I've met like the developers, and it's not like they're like incompetent or like
it's not their fault. Sleeves.
It is literally not. Like, it is. It is so difficult in the gaming industry to develop a game year over year. Like, that is difficult. And when you're having to run a live game that it's currently running, because it's not like they release this game and then they all just go to the next one. They have to like still address issues in this one so that they can't spend that time on the next one. Like, it is a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Every decision they make,
right, is just based on the dollar value that they'll gain. So it doesn't even matter.
It's a business.
It has to get approved by, you know, Mr. Whoever that has that corner office that's there.
Why GM Connected isn't added in. Like, you know, while everyone would love GM Connected and it would be awesome if it was added in, and I agree, the grim reality is that after the amount of people that complained about it, no one would play it after the first month of the game. Like, nobody, as a content creator, it'd be incredible. And as a competitor,
I'm putting my name in here. We'd have a content creator league, of course.
Oh, and yeah, we'd have running esports events would be amazing. Yeah. Like, you could do seasons. All of that would be great. But people simply don't have 30 buddies that they can do. And let's say you have like even 10. You got to remember that, like, you're not a kid anymore. Back in NHL 14, everyone that missed it from NHL 14, I remember playing in like NHL 12 and 13. And we had like 10 of us that were super committed, and we were playing like all of our games every week. And it was like a job. Like, I mean, if anyone that plays LG or knows what LG is, that's like a job in itself. Like, that's essentially what it is. Like, you're playing multiple games a week. You've got to set aside time, and it does nothing for your Hockey Ultimate Team.
I just want to call out one thing since you brought up LG, and I have to give a shout out to Don't Be Sod. He had the single greatest tweet of all time this past week, maybe. It was like LG summed up in one sentence, a 40-year-old man yelling at me to get online before the game starts to practice. And Sod, thank you for that tweet. Made me laugh. So keep going, dude. Sleeves.
Dude, I know, dude. If I wanted to get yelled at by a 40-year-old man to tell me to practice.
Yeah.
Oh, LG, man. I just hope that, you know, so they can't add in a mode like that or spend significant resources making it, because the return would just be like a fraction of the player base would use it, right? Like, it would just be dead leagues, like a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that a lot of people wouldn't take advantage of it. 100% they would. And again,
do you think a lot of people play Ones Eliminator?
No, but a lot of people play World of Chell. Like, that's the most played mode, which is, again, I'll say this for, you talked about Hut Rush earlier. I don't know if you were in the program the first year of Rush.
I joined midsummer after you guys.
So we'd already known about it. So it was put in the game to help kind of bring people over from World of Chell into Hockey Ultimate Team. And I think that it definitely feels like World of Chell. And I understand the idea, thought process behind it. I remember getting my first hand on and seeing the slideshow and the presentation on it. I remember asking, can you play this with your buddies? And they were like, no. And I was like, what is the point?
Yeah.
If you can't play, if like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're like, if you can bring your homies, if you could bring your homies in to play Rush, I think that could low key be kind of fun. Like, you know, I still think that Rush should be. I like the outdoor rink and the 3-on-3 and the arcade-y stuff of it. Yeah. I just would love it if it was like a shootout mode. Like, or first or score, first, yeah, 3-on-3 in an international rink. Like, just obnoxious stuff would be, is it like, put it in Rush. Like,
so all that stuff's cool, right? And I don't mind Rush. I don't play it. I don't mind it. I think it's fun whenever I have played it.
I like the guaranteed rewards immediately, by the way.
Yeah, that's cool, right? But you know what's kind of dumb about all of it? It's all based off of this arbitrary point system that just nobody cares about, you know?
They were like, oh, do all these cool moves to score goals. It's like, no, put your CPU on rookie, do all the objectives, and then just play grind online until like you hit the...
Yeah,
it doesn't hit. And the problem is that there's no innovation. Like, you won't see an adjustment to it. Like, we won't see this
mode's going to be removed in 2 years.
You think so?
And because they're not going to put more time or effort into it, I believe. At least I'm estimating or guessing. I think Rush will be out of HUT within 2 years.
That's interesting. I wonder the reason why I don't think it will be is that they have a lot of stuff in Hockey Ultimate Team that is there just to say it's there. I'll give you a perfect example.
Draft Champs was though too.
HUT challenges. Those have literally been the same for 5 years, and they have not.
Why did you bring that up? Now I'm getting angry again because I remembered how much I hated HUT challenges.
It is in the game to say it's in the game. The rewards are not nearly worth the time. If you were to grind them all, you would end up with like 250,000 coins that would take you about 45 hours.
Yeah.
So. It is not nearly, and that just comes back to the issue with NHL, is that there is a very, very big disconnect in the amount of time input and the results that you get from it and the rewards you get from it. They do not add up. Time input does not equal rewards output. That has always been the missing equation in Hockey Ultimate Team, is that the amount of time you put in just simply does not meet what comes out.
Yeah,
almost all the time, unless you have a gigantic pull and that's all just random nonsense. Like, you just, oh my God, I got a big pull. I haven't had a huge pull in forever. So
I was talking on stream. I have never, and I've been playing NHL since before a lot of people were born. I've been playing Ultimate Team since it was introduced. I've never pulled a Team of the Year or Team of the Season card ever.
And I have not either. And Dude, okay, so for anyone that didn't watch my community pack opening stream, so every Wednesday we do community packs, or if there's a big event, dude, Nippin Biscuits, shout out to Nippin, he saved up 20 ultimate packs. I think he had 17 ultimates and 3 ultimate choice packs, didn't get one. And he didn't even get like a 90 plus. Like, it's hilarious to me because it's Nippin, but like, I actually felt bad for the kid, like, because it's just like, That is the best pack that you can possibly get. He saved up 20 of them, and
during that Team of the Year release, there weren't a lot of cards 90 and above that weren't the Team of the Year cards, right? So like, whenever I think about it, there was one of the packs I bought. It was like a 12% chance at like a 90 plus overall card, and my thinking was that there's really no cards out besides the Team of the Years that are 90 plus. There might've been like one prime time. So I'm thinking 12%, maybe 10% chance at a Team of the Year card. No, those numbers don't mean a thing.
No, it's unfortunate in that sense. Like, just,
yeah. I think Nivian's had 50 of them, by the way.
It was like a bunch of ultimate. I don't know if it was 50 ultimates.
Okay, it was 50 packs.
But it was 50, not like premiums. Like, it was like 50 like megas and all
like
that.
Jumbo Elite or something.
Yeah, didn't get one.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's just obnoxious. Like, that's all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is the biggest issue, the lack of guaranteed rewards and HUT. But
yeah, there is one thing I want to talk about before we get into questions and stuff, right? Yeah. If you guys are listening or watching on your YouTube channel, Sleeves, if you guys have Team of the Year Headman, all right, whatever you do, activate Shutdown, activate 1T, and activate Seeing Eye. Those are the only three you need.
Bro, we just spent like 3 weeks saying that stuff doesn't work.
I just played HUT Champs this weekend, okay? I am
1T
telling
and
you right
Seeing
now,
Eye, explain.
So one T in seeing eye, right? So that's 9 points. That's 9 AP points. That's 20% of your points, okay? My first reasoning behind this is that energy's broken on defensemen. I don't know if you've seen this recently when you've been playing. My first D pair is out there for 40 minutes a game. 10 minutes into the first period, they're still green. It's insane. Like, if you control the puck in the offensive zone, their energy doesn't drain.
They don't skate, right?
They don't skate. Hedman's out there 40 minutes a game. I have been scoring so many D to D's with the 1T plus the seeing eye activated.
Where are you aiming it, dude? Because one timers have not done it this
blocker.
Year.
I'm aiming low blocker. And I also
Wait,
have my...
low blocker? He's left-handed.
I have him on the right side, left-handed. Shoot
oh,
off
far side. So far side. It'd be side. Low far side. Okay, I was thinking yeah, he was on the... I play him on his correct side. Sorry.
He's always sense. Out on the ice. He never gets off. Hmm. You always have that one-timer option right there at the point. And for some reason, one-timers to the blocker side from the point or to the glove side just don't go in. So it's completely pointless to take a 1T with a right-handed defenseman from the point. I was looking at my stats. Shea Weber has 4 goals in 150 games.
Oh, yeah. Like, I haven't scored. This year has been the lowest, and I haven't seen either. So it's not like I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
D2Ds used to be, like, a big part of my game, like, last year and even the last couple of years. They just haven't gone in cleanly this year. Like, yeah, the tips this year, like, are, like, insane. Like, if you take a shot and there's someone in the middle that's looking, like, your centerman's looking at the point, it's almost always tipped on and in the net. But I have not seen clean D2D one-timers. Like, I would say, like, one maybe every 15 games.
Yeah, they don't go in clean, right? But, like, as long as you have a little bit of traffic there, they've been going in a ton for me.
Interesting. Yeah. But, yeah, the shutdown on Hedman is definitely... That's why we telling everyone to make Hedman because his reach and his shutdown is that zone ability, the gold ability, is basically an auto lock like to the puck. Like it's insane. And because he's so tall and he has such a long reach, that it's just when I'm going up against a Hedman, like trying to get into the zone, I'm like, ugh, like get just me away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's so hard to get around him. So,
yeah. And that was one of the reasons why I regretted making Adam Fox is because he's never on the, like, I have him on the third pair. The third pair just never touches the ice.
You have your third pair. I guess I pair him with Hedman just because I like.
You were saying
the
speed. And I actually think it might be smart to do a, this might be a little too in-depth strategy, but like if you have like a fast, like Carlson or Fox with the shooter as the left-handed shot, if you're shooting to the blocker side, always keep a fast guy on the left side. You're never going to take a one-timer from your point with a right-handed defenseman.
I have not seen that go. And it's funny because Gonchar is the one that I have scored
rarely
with,
Hedman.
And he's left-handed. So that
kind of
makes
sense. They
don't
work on the glove side.
No, it's very weird. Yeah, like point shots are just not not the same here. But no, good point. Let's do some questions. So
all right, I have it pulled up. So Texas Southpaw, dear Mr. Michigan, in the face of hot. So we've been told that the MSP artwork is done months in advance, and I've heard MSP event artwork is preloaded content. Mm-hmm. How does that work with Team of the Year? Do they make artwork for like 20 guys? Seeing the Eichel, Jones, and Hamilton X-Factor team art update seems to show that they have some fluidity to their process. So why don't they do that for maybe one line for team of the season? And since Queso said he likes off-topic questions, what's your favorite toothpaste? Love the podcast.
All right. Colgate, I guess, would be my favorite toothpaste. I do not like cinnamon. So like the don't like mint. I've mentioned this before, too. So
yeah,
I'm not a big toothpaste guy.
I use whatever my wife buys. We have Crest.
That's exactly
something.
What I do. Yeah.
He asked, have we tried charcoal? I have tried charcoal toothpaste. I did like it a lot. Actually, charcoal toothpaste, we had like this powdered charcoal toothpaste, was really, really good. I almost swore there. I don't know if we could swear on the podcast. Really good. That's how excited I am about the charcoal toothpaste because that is so good. So yeah, I've tried it. You know more about the artwork and like the process of that stuff.
So this year, it definitely seems like they have... someone or something like I don't know if it's like someone on their team or something because there does seem to be cards that are getting updated a little bit quicker, but for a lot of the events they're just like patched into the game. So like when you see a patch and like nothing, there's no patch notes or anything, like you see a gameplay update, more often than not is them putting it happens later in the year, they're putting card art into the game, like so
like
when you
the
see
next
like a
wave, like maybe like the next three events or something.
A lot of them are planned out. So that's why, like, they can't they can't go super far, or they can't, like, do it very quickly. Team of the year is interesting. I would guess because that is a big marketed event. Like, they send out all of those like real life, like the gold skates and the helmet, all that. Like, team of the year is a marketing event for them. I would guess that they're like, okay, a couple weeks beforehand, like, here are the guys that we're gonna go with. Mm-hmm. And especially this year because the break happened and COVID happened, so like there wasn't games leading up to it. So, and it's only six. So, like, it's probably why. Or they just, again, they had like five for each one, and they're just like, I don't know. But yeah, again, if anyone that doesn't know, like I said, so at the beginning of the launch of the game in August or September, they'll load in like the first like five or six events. They're already kind of predetermined. So,
yeah. All right. Next question. Carbonated ask, what systems do you guys play on?
I main PS5. I do like Hot Wheels and stuff on my Xbox.
Yeah, I only have a PS5 now. I didn't buy the new Xbox. Don't know if I will. I used to play both consoles because of tournaments and stuff, which I'm missing out on of the Tampa tournament now because I don't have an Xbox. But probably just sticking with PS5.
Did you see any of that, by the way?
No. Did anything exciting happen? I haven't followed it.
Bro, I saw somebody. HK got to the end against Own the Blue.
Uh-huh.
And HK won like 1-2-0 in a best of, like, he knocked out Gren. Like, HK is, it's hilarious to watch.
I did see Josh tweet Mr. 7 goals on 8 shots, 1 or something.
I didn't watch all of Josh's run. It was long. For anyone that doesn't know, like, so the Tampa Bay Lightning are hosting the first 1v1 esports event. I will be the main host and play-by-play guy of it in Orlando. So I'll be flying out there with for the LAN that next month, as long as, knock on wood, everything is okay with COVID. So I think the winner gets $6,000, but there's an NA bracket and an EU bracket. So there's one more NA bracket if you want to get involved and try your shot at it, which I think everyone should, just to see. You never know how you stack up against the game's best. On League Gaming, there's actually, that's where you sign up, and that, I believe, is next weekend. But yeah, so HK qualified, and we'll see how he does and if he can make the LAN. But so Josh got, I think, knocked into the loser's bracket by HK, and then he ended up losing to Canadians, I believe, or Polgs. I can't remember. I honestly didn't see that.
You know, it's funny about all this. I love that HK won today, or whatever it was.
It's totally,
it's great because, like, he's like the Ben Roethlisberger of esports. He just shows up. I don't even know if he drinks, but he's like, how's this guy stand a chance? He dominates. It doesn't matter. He gets the job done. I always love HK.
Yeah, he's very polarizing in that he either gets absolutely smashed or, like, it's a lot like John Wayne, like, what he did for the last like 5 years. John would. There'd be times where he would just, I mean, he knocked out Eki in 2019. Like, I remember being there in person at the GWC, like, watching him. Like, it was just, anyways, I love NHL esports, 1v1 esports, and 6v6, but 1v1 is always going to be my favorite thing to watch when the games, when you see the best versus the best. It's always, especially when it's for a lot of money, it's always fun.
Yeah, it is. Rumple asks, pizza pockets or pizza pops? I don't even, what is a pizza pop?
All right, so he's Canadian. So a pop is, I want to say it's like, if you took a piece of bread, it's like breading or dough. It's dough. And it's basically, it looks like, it's like a rectangle, I guess would be the way it, and it's got like cheese inside and sauce. It's like a pizza, almost like a calzone, but like a small one that you microwave. Okay. And a pizza pop or a pizza pocket, which is, I always confuse me because I feel like a pop would be this, is like the circular, like puck like one. Okay. I feel like you guys have. Americans definitely have pizza pockets.
Yeah, I don't know this
I'm
one.
I'm a pocket guy, by the way.
The pop sounds better.
Yeah, yeah.
The pop sounds also like a better hot pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a pocket guy?
Yeah. I like the little puck one, the little circular one. Looks like a UFO.
Oh, interesting. I got to try. I guess
pepperoni,
I have to go to
one,
Canada.
It slaps. Yeah, it slaps.
Yeah. So let's see. Leo Remus asked, do you guys think there should be more cards or MSPs available? One of the things I loved about MLB was the pure amount of different options available. Even if all the cards feel the same, I'd love to have more options to choose from. Yes, I think that's something I'm noticing this year, right? Because, like, events are coming out and there might be one to two cards max that I actually want. I wouldn't mind seeing a lot more MSPs, because it's not like you can have all of them on your team, right? So it's not like everybody will have the same choices. Now, with how it is, there's usually like 1 to 2 meta cards that come out, and those are the cards you see whenever you play Rivals or Hot Champs. If there were a lot more MSPs, I think you'd see more team variety. What do you think, Salives?
I'm trying to think. So, like, in comparison to MLB, I think there's more in NHL. So what happens in MLB is that they release Team Affinity, where every team gets a Master Set player, essentially. And they usually last for about 6 weeks to 2 months, and then they do a second one. And so, like, each time there's 30 guys being released, like top-end guys. But really only, like, 5 to 7 of them are, like, guys you would put on a very good team. Whereas, like, there's 8 every week for NHL, every 2 weeks. Okay. So like 8, 16. So a month there's 32. Every month there's like 32 cards that are like top tier at the time, because like all of these cards are the among the best in their position. Like even this event, like Chychrun, Carlson, we listed it off, and they would still make the third pick. Maybe not Carlson, yeah. But they would still, they're among the best in their position. What I would love it is if they just stopped with like the. There's just no innovate. Again, we're going to complain about HUD, but there's no innovation in Hockey Ultimate Team. Like, I'm so sick of the format of Primetime and Team of the Week. It means nothing. Those cards mean nothing. The only reason that we get excited for them is, hey, does my X Factor get an upgrade? Or now Team of the Year. It's just, like, lame. Like, I liked it when, I think Nick was trying this last year, when it was, like, after the NHL Moments event, it was, like, one a day, and it was like a special NHL Moments card highlighting a random event from a random day. Like, I think that was cool, because that's what MLB does. Like, every Friday they release like a headliner, and it's like a special card that you could get in a pack, and you have a guarantee or a higher chance to pull it in that. But even that card isn't like super powered. But some of them are cool and they're rarer, but you know, like I don't know. Like, I hate going to my collection and seeing 7 different Nikita Kucherovs or something. Like, that's just lame. I hate it. No, change it.
So I'm guessing it's lame, Sleeves.
It sucks.
Yeah. I'm not going to get in any more in this because I'm trying to stay positive now. Maze has a question. Campone has a question first. Two tough questions. You have said in the past that weight affects balance and puck control, even though there is a balance and puck control stat. Is it a two-way street? Does weight affect speed or acceleration? Example, Jágr at 230 pounds, one of the heaviest players in the game. Do you definitely know what the aggression stat for a skater does?
So when it comes to... It shouldn't. Like, it should, if we're being, like, in reality, it should.
Physics-based speaking, like, scientific, right?
Yes, like, scientifically, it should. I'm pretty sure in the game it does not.
Yeah.
Like, that's why bigger players are always better, like, in comparison. Like, why smaller players in the NH, in the video game just don't hold up. In terms of, like, the balance stat and puck control stat, that's with the puck on their stick. Whereas... weight and height will impact, you know, when you get bumped, that is what impacts that. Height and weight impacts that. So the bigger, the taller and heavier, less about the weight, more about the height, it appears, or at least it's been said. Yeah. You don't get that stumble animation. Like, you know.
Well, it's kind of unfair then. Like, I never really thought about it this way, that, like, you know, 99 speed Rantanen would be the same speed as 99 speed McDavid, right?
That's the problem with Hutt.
Right? But
that's always going to be.
But 99 balance McDavid isn't the same as 99 balance Rantanen.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah.
Doesn't make
sense. It's the problem with that. But that isn't, like, this is probably the most difficult thing about an NHL video game that, like, I don't, like, it's not just on EA. Like, I don't know how you would fix that, because there is no sport that it's more difficult to make in terms of motion capture than and hockey, because not only is your body going 4 different directions, like, is your arms, legs, shoulders, hips, like, they're all rotating different ways, but then you're also, you have a stick, like an object controlling a puck. It's not like the NFL where, like, the ball is in your arms and, like, it's just your body and you're much slower. You're not glide. You know what I mean? You're just running. Same with soccer. Like, it's simply just much more difficult to make as a motion capture, which is why, you know, I don't envy their job, because it's very difficult to make a game that's realistic in that sense.
Yeah. The aggression stat, I think it's the type of hit that they'll deliver. I might be wrong, but, like, higher chance of getting a boarding penalty called against you. I'm not sure if elbowing penalties are still in the online like competitive modes like Rivals and Hot Champs, but higher aggression stat, I believe, led to more elbowing penalties in the past. Is there anything else, or am I wrong, Sleeves?
Hang on. I think that aggression... I did a video at the beginning of the year where I went over I went and talked to like Ben about every single attribute and got like him to tell me what it was. I don't know why I didn't. Like, I have them all here. I'm seeing it here. I don't have aggression. But I know discipline affects the likelihood of being called for a stick infraction by controlling the tension on your stick when it impacts how a player is with their elbow, and also impacts carelessness with the elbow on hits and stuff. So okay, if you have a very low discipline stat, it does impact the game, which is kind of crazy, which you might not know. But if you have a player that's getting like charging penalties and things like that, go and look at their discipline stat. Aggression, I don't know why I don't have it written down here, because I went through every single one. I'm not sure as to why I don't have that, but
okay.
Discipline is the one you're thinking of in terms of aggression. I think aggression's offline completely. I think it's an offline.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be nice if there was a thing inside of the game itself that explained everything about an attribute.
There is in World of Chell.
Oh, okay. All right. So I was about to complain, but it looks like that's in the game.
It's just in the mode that they care about.
Oh, okay. Cool. Maze has a couple questions. When you're diving to intercept a pass or block a shot and I skate over that guy, it should be a tripping call 100 out of 100 times. I've had some discussions with Ben about this, but would like your guys' opinion. Because if you're diving too early, it should be some kind of punishment if I can skate over him and he takes my legs out. So I'm going to answer this question first before I move on to the next part of the question. So I think if you dive early and you establish, like, this is where I am, you're establishing position, right? And you skate over that guy, I don't think it should be a tripping call.
I don't think it is in the real thing.
It's not, right? Like, you have enough time to react to the dive to where you can go around him. You can do a saucer pass if necessary. You can take the shot. I think, and that's also, like, on a development standpoint, that has to be really hard to program, right?
The thing of it in the real NHL is if someone dived, the reason I can talk about this, Brent Burns dives on every 2-on-1. If you dive, as long as you hit the puck first. So in a lot of instances, if someone dives and you're skating towards the net, like say you cut into the middle, almost always the puck is going to be out in front of you. So in a lot of instances, the puck is going to hit that player first and then you're going to get tripped, which is probably why you're not getting a penalty. Because in most cases, when you run over someone close enough, it is a penalty.
Yeah, in a lot of cases in the game. Mm-hmm. He asks, his hill to die on, right? Like cheese dies on the Chicago deep dish pizza. He was referring, I forget who asked that question or who made that comment a couple weeks ago. Does EA have any competitive integrity at all when it comes to pokes? Does EA really care anymore about how broken the pokes are? What are some other GC and your own opinions on them? And has your opinion changed now? It's so unrealistic. So my opinion actually has changed a little bit now. I do think they're a little bit overpowered, but good
right shutdown is overpowered.
Yeah, but good right stick movement with your player counters the pokes. I went over this in a you probably did too, in a video I posted on YouTube. I forget what the title of my YouTube video was. It was on breakouts and like the neutral zone and stuff. But I do have a few minutes on there. Right stick movement entering the zone, because that's most of the time where the poke check breakups come. Mm-hmm. Once they poke, it's auto locked on to where the puck is, right? So if you move your right stick, they're not going to be able to get a successful poke unless they have shutdown or that other X factor stick them up, right? So I don't. Yeah, they might be a little too overpowered and they probably shouldn't be auto aimed. If they weren't, there's probably a lot of 11-7 games or something like that, right?
If it would be bad.
It would be bad. Yeah, I mean, I would adjust, but, you know, it'd be bad for a lot of people.
I think that this year has definitely made the defensive skill stick almost the least impactful it's ever been. So, like, before the defensive skill stick, when you could manually move your stick in whatever way, like the wiggle stick and all that, like, you know, like in the prior games, because it auto locks so hard and shutdown's a thing, you just tap R1. Don't aim it because it tracks it itself. Yeah, so Kessa talked about it a lot. Moving your right stick with the puck is how you counter that, or just backskate into the zone. If you I just did a video on this, in terms of like using the L2 and half spins. I just played somebody that lived on R1. It is the easiest way to get tripping calls, because if you are doing a half spin and they hit R1, obviously your back is to them. It's almost always a tripping call.
Yeah, so. And I bet they're not going to keep tapping R1, right? So you have some easy zone entries after that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
His final off-topic question, Maze had one. If you could travel anywhere on the Earth or space, where would you go and why?
Space would freak me out. I wouldn't want to go to space.
Yeah, probably lonely, right? I don't want to go with like Bezos or like Elon Musk. I feel like they wouldn't be like, a good company. Yeah.
Your company would be weird.
So we went, my wife and I, well, where we got engaged, we went to Paris. That was amazing. We spent like 8 days or 7 days in Paris, like best vacation I've ever been on. So I think because we've done that already, we really want to go to Ireland. I think it'd be fun to like rent a car, hit up a lot of like bed and breakfast and like drive like, you know, wherever. So I think that's like my ideal one right now.
I would, my family, like my grandmother and my dad were both born in a place called Edinburgh, Scotland. And I'm just like, it's so gloomy. Like, you know, Europe is just very good. I'm not like I love sun. Like I could never live in Seattle. Mm-hmm. That I would also love to see like Abu Dhabi once. Like,
yeah, it'd be interesting.
I just can't imagine a city that's like literally just billions. Like, you know what I mean? Like there is no slum. Like it is just like,
well, the slums are close, right? Or do they do a good job of keeping like, cause it's like,
I honestly don't know.
Like, it's an evil city sleeves.
Yeah,
right?
It's awful. It's like literally just, yeah, it's like, you know, it's literally just like so archaic in the sense that like, you know, the people that are rich there are just will, you know, always push down the like less rich. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's I think that'd just be a cool place to be.
That's PG a good too. Pick. Yeah. I feel like Abu Dhabi is like a very Blade Runner-esque place.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go there. Let's record an episode of Coffee and Chill in Abu Dhabi.
We need some more downloads, brother.
Only another 1 million downloads. Yeah. That's it. Sam Baum asks, hey guys, love the podcast. Thank you, Sam. What are your thoughts on EA messing up the console migration for players as they've not gotten their diamond packs or power-up collectibles? Sam, it looks like that issue has been resolved. I think I was streaming Friday or Saturday and people were like, oh, I just got my pack. So
if it's not, contact EA help, but that was a known issue. It looks like it's fixed now.
Yeah. I really like this next question. Jacob Pranks. It seems that like no one is creating Hot Champs cards. Yeah, because it sucks. I added that. I know most people say the smart plays use Champs collectibles to make power-up collectibles, and the gamblers of our community use their Champs collectibles on Ultimate Choice packs. However, I've been hoarding my Champs collects to build a high-end Champs card at some point in the future. The cost to make a high-end Champs card is going to be very expensive. For example, it's currently 24 collectibles to make 93 overall Champs cards.
Oh my God.
Which equals a 600,000 coin value, assuming a power-up collectible price of 25K. That said, do you think high-end Champs cards are going to become unicorns in the game due to the fact it seems like everyone is using up all of their Champs collectibles every week? What can EA do to make Champs cards more desirable? Jacob, also, I want to say, Jacob, you speak in such an analytical and intelligent way, the way you wrote your question. Thank you very much. Not that other people don't, but, like, you know, he's, you know, assume, like, I love the way you type. Jacob, yeah, it's weird because like the last few years or ever since Hot Champs was introduced, those cards have only gone to the top 20 players, right?
Yep.
And now they've assigned this coin value, which nobody's using because people are using them on power-up collectibles. I don't know how to solve it. I think what Jacob's doing is could be a really good choice in the sense that once like 95 or 96 overall Champs cards are out, saving up those collectibles, if it's like a similar cost to get them to the max overall, there could be some crazy good cards that nobody will have, right?
I think that GWC hopefuls, I've said this like since like November, is that they should just be saving that because you could essentially get like a 96 overall player for GWC for free.
Yeah.
I'm assuming with the sense that, you know, they probably like if you are someone that is getting top 100 every single week, you are probably playing all of your rivals games and you're probably getting enough to make all of your collectibles that you need to upgrade X Factor cards. But yeah, dude, like the majority of people, what I think should probably happen is that you should have to spend Hot Champs collectibles to make a card like an 86 and then you could upgrade it with coins or
power up collectibles.
Yeah.
I think you can use coins on the Hot Champs cards. You might be able to.
Yeah,
but it's so weird because I haven't even looked at those cards.
I never look. I did it at the beginning of the year because it was like they had an advantage, like because there was no very good. Like I made Jonathan Dahlin,
mm-hmm.
and but then he just gets replaced, like because they don't. They're very even in line with like everything else.
Yeah, and if we were talking about how weird the MSP choices have been. The Hot Champs cards,
they're way out there.
It's like the weird part of the internet. No idea what's going on. Alice's Bay, I think that's it. New to the podcast, love it so far. Do you guys do team reviews at all or have any plans for that in the future? Like dissecting people's rosters and maybe give their coin balance collection to help give any recommendations. Would be cool to see how you guys go about building your team up and all that. I'll answer this first before he sleeps. I personally don't I have my own Discord server where if people reach out, I'll answer questions or whatever. In general, especially whenever I'm streaming, I don't like to do it because I think there is an ideal way to build a team, an ultimate team. And I always am open to talking about that. Right. I think if you're not building or if your goal is a competitive way, there's one way to build a team. If you're not playing that way, and I don't suggest that unless you're like the top 5 to 10% of that community, you should only use the cards and players you like, and you shouldn't worry about, you know, making the ideal team. You should play it for enjoyment. So nailed I tend it. To stay away from those.
Yep. Nailed it.
Anything you want to add there?
No, dude, I agree. I think that I used to do this thing called Team Build Tuesday where like every night I host a stream where I would literally just for my subs, just do it. I don't do it anymore because I don't enjoy, it's almost like I make so many videos going over the best card, like every card that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching those, you should get a sense of like you said it exactly. There's a type of card competitively that you would want that you should, you know.
Yeah. I feel like if you watch our content, you know what to do.
Yeah,
right?
You would feel. Yeah, exactly. Kind of thing. I'm just not a big fan of it. Like in my stream, I made a 30-minute cooldown on it. Cause like if I didn't, everyone just wants their team reviewed and who they should go after and be told who they should get next. And I get that you don't want to spend and waste your coins on a card that isn't good. My Discord, for example, Kessel has one as well. I've got like, I think there's like 2,500 guys in there. And you know, if I'm not going to answer, or if I don't have time to like get to everybody, like they, you know, you'll get someone that like talks hot all day long in there. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I think that was the last question on Reddit. Yes, it was.
Longer one, dude. Longer episode today, guys. Well,
yeah.
Always fun, my man. And dude, we're on episode 15. Here we are, man. You know, it's almost GWC season. I'm excited for GWC because we can start talking. Like today, we got to talk events about Tampa and whatnot, but it's going to start heating up, man. I'm excited for that.
It's a whole other world whenever that starts up, you know,
leading into it.
People are going to start creating the little Discord servers to run
scrims.
Yeah,
The Twitter bios.
There's going to be some sort of drama where somebody gets banned.
Oh, yeah.
Here, before we do this, Sleeves, assign a line, all right? Gambling line.
Yep.
What are the chances, okay? Flock is playing in GWC. What would you give that line? I would say
that Flock he is playing.
I say +250 that he's allowed to play.
Allowed to play?
Allowed to play.
I think that I think he's a nice guy. I think that if he makes it far enough for them to pay attention, he will not be allowed to play.
Yeah. It happens every year, and he's a great guy.
He is. Yeah, he's a nice kid.
All right, that was a terrible way to end the episode. I apologize to listeners. Guys.
Yo, it's been real. Have a good one, guys.
See ya.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.